Welcome to That Is Good to Know Radio Show. This program focuses on you, the listener, by providing you information, strategies, and practical educational tips from successful seasoned business professionals. Now, with today's program, here's your host, Jeff Stanislow.
Hey, Tom, this is Jeff. How are you doing today? I got Tom Castriota from Castriota Chevrolet joining us on That Is Good to Know. And we're going to talk another great episode today. I got my co-host Royce Pope with us. And Tom, welcome to the show. Let me start it off by what's going on in that big old car world.
Well, as you know, Jeff, there's a lot going on, particularly with our domestic manufacturers being Ford, General Motors, and Stellantis, which used to be Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep. The UAW's been on strike for 40 days now. And now they're not, fortunately, not all the plants are shut down. They're very strategically approaching the strike by, at least from the UAW perspective, is picking certain plants while allowing other plants to operate. But at the same time, some of the supplying chain that supply a lot of the manufacturing parts to the vehicles have to shut down because, certain plants do build certain things, and other plants that build manufacture, they can't get the parts to them. So it's been an interesting time for 40 days for at least the domestic retailers, such as myself as a Chevrolet dealer.
Yeah. Well, Tom, let me ask you this. I mean, it's been an interesting ride over the last, 3-5 years with COVID in the marketplace and what's going on. I'm from Detroit originally, as you know, so, you know, Motown is near and dear to my heart. And the big three now that's changed as well, but Ford, General Motors, and Chrysler at the particular time, Stellantis now, have been doing a lot of different unique things in the marketplace and a lot of different kind of like new challenges into the manufacturing space. How do you think they've handled some of the new challenges just in your eye with, you know, maybe the outside pressure, like in electric vehicles, for example?
Well, there's no doubt about it that EV is the discussion of today's economic as well as, you know, where our present government is as they approach, whether you want to call it the green or climate change, environment, the pressures put on by the present administration and regulators is that they want to do away with gas vehicles by 2035 as we approach that another 10 years. And it has been a struggle, particularly for dealers and manufacturers throughout the industry. And then, Jeff, you have to look at it. What's the national picture? Then you come down to a regional picture. And then you even drive down to the state level. And that's a whole conversation, Jeff. However you want to go, we can delve into that. Because, as many people know, California seems to mandate a lot of what goes on in our EV world and miles per gallon and how automobiles are perceived. And so there are many states that follow California's example, but Florida's not one of them.
Yeah, it's oftentimes that the state of California is the tail that wags the dog. So that's for sure. This is Jeff Stanislow, and this is That Is Good to Know show with Jeff Stanislow. I got our guest, Tom Castriota from Castriota Chevrolet, up in beautiful Newport Richey, right, Tom?
That's right, Jeff. We cover Newport Richey, Hudson, Spring Hill, the west coast of Florida, and the northern part of Tampa, St. Petersburg, yes.
Fantastic. Thanks, Tom. And if someone wants to find you, Tom, how do they do that? What's the best way? Go to your website?
Well, that's very kind. You're castriota.com or 1-800-IS-CHEVY. That's kind of simple, 1-800-IS-CHEVY. And as most people know, we offer used cars under the Car Bravo label from General Motors. And, of course, we have the full range of Chevrolets, including EV. And we also have some RVs that we have licensed to sell, brand new and HUD model homes as well. So we're pretty diverse, Jeff, when it comes down to what we can offer our retail customers.
Yeah, that's wonderful, Tom. Kind of diving in a little bit more on the EVs. Let's take a look at, I guess you had a crystal ball, how, we kind of know the objective, but the path that we got there, I think, was forced upon us a bit. What would you have rather have seen in the marketplace, like transition, like more of a free market economy? How do you think this would have progressed a little bit differently in Tom's mind?
think most dealers, again, let's just take California out of the mix because that state has mandated, the rules have kind of restricted what the manufacturer can do and what dealers can do. I would say that the dealers on a whole would like to see a transition that goes slowly based on what the consumer wants to buy, because, I mean, currently the consumer is not interested in buying EVs in what we'll call the wholesale volume. They are not flocking the doors that I want an EV. The people, our average statistical buyer in this country likes to drive. They like that freedom to come and go, the fear that the infrastructure is not there. So I think the simple answer is, Jeff, I think hybrids. I think hybrids would have been a nice transition to move as we go to the future, and whatever the future looks like, whether it's 10 years or 20 years. Hybrids would have been a nice crossover between, as we know, ICE, the combustible engine, versus the hybrid that has a gas engine as well as a battery, versus going to total electricity or EV, what's BEV, battery electric vehicle. The simple answer is hybrids, that we take this in a very slow progression, let the consumer dictate what they want to do, and let the manufacturer approach it from the consumer standpoint, not regulated by the government. And as such, when it's mandated by their government, it costs more money because they have to subsidize the industry to at least get to their goals, and there being the current government and regulators that are mandating these changes.
Yeah, I agree, Tom. Welcome back. This is Jeff Stanislow. We're on the That Is Good to Know show with Jeff Stanislow and my associate sidekick here, Royce Pope. He'll be joining us here in a minute. Tom, I know we're talking about EVs, and it does seem like a natural path to go this hybrid to electric vehicles, let the free market kind of dictate the pace. But here we are right now. Tell me about, like, what the hottest lineup in the Chevrolet world is, since you're so close to that. I saw the Blazer electric vehicle, and it looks really sharp. Can you tell me a little about what they got coming out here?
Well, right now, Jeff, our mainstay is the Bolt, the B-O-L-T, which is a predecessor to what was the Volt, the V-O-L-T. The Volt was a hybrid. The Bolt is full electric. The difference in today's evolution, where GM is using the lithium battery platform, in other words, the whole frame and battery is all part of the chassis, and then they put the body on top of it. The Bolt currently is an old, what we'll call it the old technology, if you want to call EV old by 2 or 3 years. That will eventually switch over to the lithium battery in 2 or 3 years. But yeah, right now, our first vehicle coming out full electric under the lithium platform is the Blazer. They are being shipped. It has a range roughly 300 miles. GM does offer, for those that buy, they get, I think, a $1,500 credit to install level 2 charging in the house. And then we follow with the EV Equinox by sometime this fourth quarter, which will be in the 30,000 range, low 30s, 30, 31,000, which will also be in that 300-plus mile range. And they just announced the other day they postponed the EV Silverado for another year. And when that does come to production, that's committed to go to the fleets first. A lot of the commercial companies, i.e. UPS and FedEx and Amazon, have all committed to go EV with more of their fleet. And so GM had contracted, at least when they went to the Silverado decision, most of that was going to go to the fleet side of the house before we go to the retail.
Sure.
And they postponed that probably 6 months to a year. I think a lot of it has to do with supply issues. And I believe, too, right now the consumers are not flocking to EVs in volume. I mean, the market has increased by market share, but not enough to overwhelm, if that's the right word, when the consumer knocks on a door and they're just, you can't keep them in stock. I mean, it's known throughout the presses that the EV day supply has gone up substantially in the last 90 days to 180 days, because now most manufacturers are offering EVs, and counter to what we saw 3 years during COVID, when pretty much most of the EVs everybody knew was Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have roughly 60 different models of EVs out there to the consumer, and another 30 coming in the next year. So the selection is good, but the consumer is still not going deaf in volume to leave hybrids or to leave gas. And that's a long way down the road.
Well, I mean, Tom, we could talk a lot just on this, you know, rabbit hole EVs, and we'd be happy to do that. But, you know, as we're kind of approaching, you know, someone thinking about buying a new car or something of that nature, my associate here at That Is Good to Know, and Tom, thank you for sharing a lot of that great information. That Is Good to Know. You can visit our website at thatisgoodtoknow.com for more information. Listen to Tom's conversation. Find out more about Castrieto Chevrolet, and there'll be a link in there for you as well. Royce, you had a question that you wanted to ask.
Yeah, Tom, this is Royce. Thank you so much for being with us. You mentioned earlier that certain people are concerned whether or not the infrastructure is in place to actually onboard all of these electric vehicles into the economy. Has there not been, to your knowledge, any discussion about how this would actually be accomplished, whether, you know, within the car industry or other sources?
Well, let's start with the federal government. Under Biden's Inflation Reduction Act, part of it was billions of dollars to build infrastructure, that we go from, you know, roughly 150,000 chargers to 300,000 to 400,000 or 500,000 chargers. But that will take many years to get the infrastructure. And to go with not only the infrastructure, but what we fail to realize, at least from the government side, you still need the electric grid. An electric grid is not up to standards to support all these level two and level three fast chargers. Now we're compounded. You build these charging stations, but you don't have the transformers to take the power from the grid because the grid can't support it. So now we have another compounded problem. But from a consumer standpoint, again, statistically, most consumers would like to charge at home. And what GM is offering for every EV, but they will subsidize a certain amount of money to put a level two into the house. Again, though, many houses have to be upgraded to handle a level two. It'd be similar to putting in a 220 for your washer and dryer. So many of the older homes, you're going to have a pretty big expensive internal build, upgrade your house to run that power. And the other downside on the EV side is people that live in condos and rent apartments or are urban livers. They live in the urban environment. There's no place to get a charger. So we're years off before we get some type of an infrastructure that even comes close to a gas station. And then to answer to, at least from the GM side, they've committed roughly 150,000 chargers over a period of 3 or 4 or 5 years. But again, that doesn't go very far when you're looking at roughly, let's say a market that is 50% of the consumers are in an area where they can get electricity. And why I say that, because again, if you're living in a city environment, you're using public transportation, you're commuting to work, which is a short distance, you're in an apartment or a condominium, and you have no place to charge. So you're not driving a good number of those people, they don't even drive a car now, and if they do have a car, they use it on the weekend, and they can park it in a garage, if they even have it. What we face statistically, there's a good number of our population in this country cannot, one, afford the car, but two, how do they get it charged? And I think the public's much aware that finding a charging station that works, that's reliable, is pretty difficult under today's environment.
I agree with you, Tom, and it's really, really good information to kind of know and understand. That's the whole premise of our show. Our show is, that is good to know. Sharing that, vision with the infrastructure, and then you have other industries that are kind of also bucking the trend that we got to take into consideration. But I did want to, talk a little bit about the market. Let's take a look at the new car market. You know, what's going on sales wise, volume wise? Are we up? We down? And then we can pivot a little bit to talk about the used car market. So what's going on in 2023?
That's a good question. Let's just go back to what we, as an industry, we talk about what's sold nationally in this country. So before COVID, we were in that 16 million range, give or take, new vehicles being sold. That's the average consumer buying in the fleet and in the commercial. And that encompasses every manufacturer that sells in this country. And then during COVID, we went down to about 13 to 13.5. And now we're right around 15 million, give or take, as the plants in the last 2 years have pretty much come back onto full production. We still have some logistical problems throughout the, not only in this country, but also within, as we look at it international. What I mean from logistics is a lot of our manufacturing comes out of Mexico and Canada, and we have a rail shortage that we don't have enough rail cars to ship. And aren't enough then using transport through the seas, we don't have enough ships to carry those. As a lot of our production, too, will come by not only rail, but also by ship. And another example is our Korean production. You know, it takes 6 weeks to go from Korea to here. It goes through the Panama Canal and then comes up to the Gulf. And we just recently have gone online, at least from General Motors, we now are using the Tampa port to ship cars to, mm-hmm. which certainly saves us, for at least here on the west coast of Florida, a lot of time, because up until this point, a lot of those vehicles were going around the Keys and up north to Brunswick, yeah. Georgia, to unload there. And as another point, the Tampa port has just gone in for a request of $35 million to the Department of Transportation to expand. They have a good, I believe they have 10 acres as part of the port land that they would like to convert that land into storage for these shippers. And when I mean shippers, I'm talking about those that bring cars and trucks from the plants. And that would certainly be a boon to Tampa, again, if you can increase from 2,000 or 3,000 a lot to maybe 5,000 or 6,000. Not only does it give us the capacity to store more and ship from here, but you think about that, it also has a pretty good effect on the economy, not only building the yard for it, but also the increased labor that's have to be hired to man it. But let's get back to where I think your Jeff Altman yeah. question is, where are
let's
we
let's get
in
back
production?
To the, where the consumer can figure out what's going on in their pocketbook and how much it's going to cost to buy a new car.
Well, today it's much more advantage. There's a stronger advantage to the consumer today because there is volume. Day supply has gone up versus, let's again say, COVID days, where most of us were sitting with 20, 30-day supply because production was extremely limited. The demand was high only because the supply was low. And a lot of dealers were holding maybe markup on selected units. Those days are pretty much gone. Inventories are all not back to normal, but they're getting back to that dealers are now substantially discounting. The manufacturers are offering more rebates that we didn't have 3 years ago. But we do also have an increase in prime. That has also affected to some degree on what interest rates are. And I think probably go one to hand, though, Jeff, that some of the labor, one of the increases in the rates been offset by, again, the discounts that the dealers are offering and the manufacturers offering incentives.
Well, Tom.
And I think if you want to move into the used car market, again, those that study this market saw the used car market just totally go out of the book because there was such a shortage of new cars that the dealers
it was
were
absolutely
trying to find
crazy
any.
Wasn't it absolutely
it was,
crazy it, time in the used car market,
and you can say out of the book is a good way to put it. But now
like
statistically
that.
The used cars are coming back down to earth, as we can use that analogy. The pricing has gone down, the wholesale values have gone down,
getting more in line with the book then, right?
It's getting more in line to what the market can bear and what the consumer wants to pay, Jeff.
Fantastic. Tom, that's really good information to know. And I like kind of how you're giving more of a macroeconomic perspective of what goes on in the marketplace. You know, sometimes we talk about things and we get really granular and focused on just like, you know, a price of a specific vehicle. But I appreciate all the information that you're giving on that macroeconomic, what goes into it, the logistics, the market itself, interest, you know, the prime rates and labor disputes. And, you know, I know you're a seasoned experience, and I'm talking with Tom Castriota, the owner of Castriota Chevrolet up in Newport Richey, serving up and down 19, you know, up in that area. And been, how many years you been in business now, Tom?
Well, our family's been selling Chevys since 1979, Jeff. And
We've been here
in this market since 1993.
Since 93. So you got, you know, a family, a legacy inside the car and automotive business. And, you know, we appreciate you spending the time. Kind of as we're Royce has got one more question that he wanted to talk about as we're coming into the time of the year. So take it away, Royce.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, Tom, I just want to know if you can give us a sneak preview on the kind of holiday deals that you're offering to consumers as we approach the festive seasons.
Or is it a good time to buy? Is it a good time to buy, or is it a good time to wait? What are you thinking right now?
First of all, you have the consumer that really needs, because their vehicle is aged. It's maybe not running anymore. But today we do have the incentives we didn't have 18 months ago from our manufacturers. The dealers have inventory, and they are discounting. I would say most dealers are. And it's a good time today to buy versus what may be 18 months ago, Royce, because, again, at least in our store, we never did add a pack to or what we'd addendum to our car, except for maybe our limited production on a Corvette. But we are back to MSRP on the Corvette, and from our truck standpoint, our car inventory, they're discounted. And again, certain manufacturers have different incentives on different vehicles. And between now and the end of the year, sure, it's a good year, but it's not going to make much difference if it's today or tomorrow. We're all in the retail business. And I know a lot of consumers think, well, wait till the last 3 days. Dealers have to make some objective. And you know, at our store, we're pretty much committed to be pretty much the same price throughout the year. And yes, there are negotiations that go back and forth, and there's trade values that also play into this. But again, the short answer is the manufacturer is offering more incentives today than we had 18 months ago. Are we at the level where we were pre-COVID? No. I don't know if we're ever going to get back to $8,000 and $10,000 rebates on pickup trucks. I just don't see the production being there. But do we have rebates, you know, $4,000 or $5,000? Yes. And again, that's on select models. So today's a better day to buy than it was 18 months ago. And where we are in December, I don't think it's going to change a whole lot. I think the strike should end soon. At least my gut feeling says that at least GM might be closer to settling. Once you get the plants going, and we'll have inventory for the consumer as we roll into December.
Talking with Tom Castriota from Castriota Chevrolet. Tom, we're about out of our time, and I just wanted to really, thank you for spending it with us, sharing this great information on That Is Good to Know. You can visit thatisgoodtoknow.com for more information. We'll have the podcast up there. You can listen to it. I'll put a link into Tom's website for his Chevy dealership. And Tom, you mentioned a phone number to reach out to you. What was that phone number again?
1-800-IS-CHEVY. Simple to remember. 1-800-IS-CHEVY.
1-800-IS-CHEVY. Chevy. Got it.
Chevy. C-H-E-V-Y.
You got it. I should know that.
Thank you.
1-800-IS-CHEVY. Tom, we really appreciate your time, your insight, and thank you for visiting with Jeff Stanislow and Royce Pope on That Is Good to Know with Jeff Stanislow. Take care.